So who are you and what do you do at Microsoft?
My name is Soma Sagar. People call me Soma, so you can call me Soma. I run the developer division here at Microsoft. And as part of the developer division at a high level, there are sort of three things that we are responsible for. The Visual Studio family of products, all the developer tools that we built, the .NET platform technologies, and the Microsoft Expression Designer tools. That's sort of the responsibilities of my division.
And how big is your division?
It's about 2,000 plus people.
Oh, okay. So today's October 27, 2005.
Yes.
How far away are we from releasing Visual Studio 2005?
If I look at the clock, it's probably either a few hours or minutes.
Wow.
It's definitely not days.
Wow, it's cool that we're talking right now as it's just about to be released.
Yep, it's almost there.
How does the developer division relate to the SQL Server division? How do the two divisions work together exactly?
In some sense, you know, the SQL product group or the SQL division is all about data and analysis. And the developer division is all about programming and languages. Now, hardly anybody writes an application today that doesn't require data or that doesn't use data in some way, shape, or form. So we've always been thinking about, like, you know, how do we take the data world, database world, how do we take the programming world, and how can we bridge those two worlds as opposed to keeping them as two different silos. So the developer division and SQL division has been working closely towards that. And you're going to see the fruits of that in SQL Server 2005 and Visual Studio 2005, where we have integrated CLR into the SQL Server in a deep, deep way, so that all the benefits of .NET programming and all the, like, you know, programming languages of .NET, the benefits of that are now available for the SQL developers.
So the senior VP that's been overseeing both these divisions, Eric Rutter, what's it like working for Eric?
It's an experience.
Yeah?
I've been working for Eric now for almost 2 years, and I've had a blast. You know, I've known Eric probably since about 97, 96, you know, 95, 96 time frame. So I've known him for a long time. He's an incredibly smart guy. He's also a fun guy. I don't know, you know, whether you realize this, for example.
Well, I've known him since 92 when we worked on Visual Fox Pro 3.0, yeah.
Great. we were doing a sort of a video thing, a spoof on Star Wars for one of the internal meetings.
Yeah, saw that.
And he and I had a chance to do that together, and we spent probably a day doing that. It was a lot of fun. And you get to see the other side of Eric, so to speak. Uh-huh. Very humorous guy.
Yeah, a lot of humorous emails on occasion.
Yeah.
What character was he and what character were you?
He did the Luke and I did the Chewbacca.
Is that what you're going to be this Halloween?
I should tell you, you know, I literally learned, like, you know, I was practicing 2 days to try to get the growl. So
so we can call you Chewy?
That's
all?
Okay.
So what motivates you to keep an active blog, and do you read other blogs? Not, you know, like, in how do you determine what blogs you read?
Right.
You know, like,
so there are two main reasons why I write blogs, or three main reasons, I should say. You know, one is, you know, I talk a lot about community and transparency. I want to be a part of the community. I'm excited about making sure that there is a community for our products, for our technologies, but I want to be a part of the community. So to me, you know, writing a blog and maintaining a blog helps me be part of the community. The other thing is, writing something down always helps me crystallize my thoughts. And finally, it's a fantastic way to have a two-way dialogue and conversation and be able to get feedback from people around the world, no matter where they are located geographically.
And you read a few blogs?
I read a few blogs. I should, you know, confess that I don't, you know, read a lot of blogs, you know, sort of in a consistent way. But, you know, I do read a few blogs, and I know that people around me, in the team particularly, they keep sending me, you know, blogs that they think, you know,
right,
are important that
right,
I should read, and I make sure that I read,
like,
those.
Like a filter, yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think of this Channel 9, and how does it help? How do you think it helps customers? How do you think it helps product teams? Like, what's your view of the whole Channel 9?
If I have to define Channel 9 in simple words, I think about it as sort of a video blog.
Uh-huh.
You know, it sort of personifies Microsoft. You know, a lot of people think about, like, you know, Microsoft as this sort of entity, and they don't know who's inside Microsoft. So this is a great way for people to put a name to a face, or a face to a name, however you think about it. And that, I think that really provides a unique, immersive experience for our community and customers to be able to sort of sit through and, you know, see what the teams are doing, what they think, who the people are, you know, what, you know,
cool
keeps
demos.
Them going,
cool
demos,
yeah.
Cool technologies, right? It's
right.
Just a fantastic way to have the dialogue.
So how do you view Visual Basic perceived within Microsoft, and how much does Microsoft care about the usage of VBE?
I should start with some history and context here to give you a flavor for, I think, how we think about it inside Microsoft. In the early 90s, you know, when VBE 1.0 and 2.0 and 3.0 came out, VBE really democratized programming, right? It literally brought programming to the masses, right? You know, programming was no longer this, like, you know, hey, you know, it's only for the elite kind of thing, right? Anybody who wanted to get programming, they could get started with VBE. The programming experience, you know, the barrier to entry was, you know, lower for people to get in there. So that's how we started with VBE. If you go back further in history, in 1975, when we started the company, guess what? The first product that Bill worked on was a basic interpreter, right? So we've had a, you know, strong and long history on BASIC that evolved into Visual Basic and now has transformed to VB.NET. To me, you know, when I think about VB.NET, that is a first-class language for the .NET world as much as any other language. So we are really, really excited and bullish about usage of VB inside the company and outside the company with our customers.
So does Bill Gates still care about VB, and how is he involved in the design process? That's a common question I get, like user groups and stuff.
He absolutely cares about VB, and I'll give you a quick anecdote. About 10 days ago, I had a chance to sit down and discuss with Bill how we are thinking about, you know, what we want to do with Visual Studio and everything that we do here post VB. Right, as we are getting done with VB, and I thought I'll sort of go talk to him about how we are thinking about it, how we are planning, and then get his feedback. And we talked about, like, you know, how we want to get data language integrated query support in VB, and he was super ecstatic about that. So he cares a lot about that. Now, you know, I should, you know, confess and say that, you know, Bill hasn't threatened me that he's going to write, you know, something in VB in a while now. So I don't know that he's writing a whole lot of VB,
no.
But he does get very involved at a design level, at a technical, you know, strategy level, and gives us very valuable feedback.
So you're saying he knows and cares about and has input on the roadmap.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Roadmap on when we do what, on, you know, what things we should be doing kind of thing.
So does Microsoft use Visual Basic internally, and what kind of apps or tools are using VB in, you know, within the company?
We absolutely use VB inside the company, you know, and there are sort of two places where I can call out where we use VB. One is a lot of our internal line of business applications. Applications that help us run Microsoft as a business, as a company, we absolutely have a variety of those applications written in VB. For example, you know, take HeadTrax, which is an internal application that is a resource tracking manager application. Basically, it helps you track the resources inside the company. Virtually every employee in the company uses HeadTrax, and that's one of the first VB.NET applications that we wrote inside the company like several years ago. So that is, you know, is running VB.NET. Reach Out. Now, this is a tool that probably many people outside Microsoft might not have heard yet because it's an internal tool. Now, think about this tool as an Outlook add-in for me as a, you know, sort of Microsoft employee to stay connected with my community. Could be blogs, could be news groups, could be forums, whatever it is. It's a one-stop shop for me to stay engaged with the community from within Outlook. Now, this we've distributed internally in the company, and we have, you know, literally thousands of people using this tool, and this tool is written in VB.NET. Now, our plan is, you know, over the next several months, right, we'll make more, you know, progress with this, and then we'll be able to share it with, you know, a few of our community members, see how it goes, and then be able to make it available more broadly. So that's another, you know, example of a tool that we wrote in VB.NET. Now, if you take Visual Studio 2005 itself, you know, there are parts of Visual Studio 2005 that are written in VB.NET. You know, the one example that comes to my mind is the resource editor. Now, this, you know, thing is written in VB.NET. So whenever you want to go edit a resource file, instead of just seeing it in, like, you know, raw XML, you have a visual designer, and that designer is written in VB.NET. So we do use VB across the board.
Yeah, and one example I'll add is that how we're enhancing Visual Fox Pro for interop, it's going to be written in the upcoming version of VB.
Right.
So there's a lot of things like that. Let's see. So why does VB exist with multiple .NET languages? What are your thoughts about people approaching which language they want to use? And that's a pretty common question,
right,
especially for people new to .NET.
Right. See, to me, we've always believed in saying that, you know, hey, language is a personal choice. You as an individual, or you as a developer, or you as a programmer, or you as a person who wants to get into programming, you can decide what language you want to get familiar with, what language you want to use for whatever reasons you are. So like I mentioned earlier, I think VB democratized programming. I think the .NET platform democratized programming languages. You know, we have today, you know, C#, VB.NET, C++, you know, and then we've got Java, we've got Smalltalk.NET, Cobol.NET, Fortran.NET. I can sort of go on adding, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, you know, hey, we provide a platform, a common language platform, and people can decide, you know, what language works for them, doesn't work for them. So we believe in, like, you know, supporting multiple languages and letting people decide what languages they want to use.
Cool. So it sounds to me like developers are seeing more and more transparency, not just with Channel 9, but blogs and the way information is out about new products sooner, PDC and all. What's being done to allow customers more input on the actual design and feature decisions, and not just know what is going to happen, but
right,
how do they say, hey, you know, the way you implemented this language feature or the way you do this IDE feature, I'm not sure about. How is that going to get better so people feel a part of the team?
With Orcus, which is the code name for the next version of Visual Studio, one of the things that we want to do is make sure that every time we write a specification document for a new feature, you know, where we talk about, you know, what the feature does and maybe even talk a little bit about the design, we want to be able to share it right then and there with the community. And in fact, I want to take it one step further and say, you know, hey, I want, you know, some part of the community actually signing off on the spec or signing off on the specification document. So that gives people a way to say, you know, hey, here is what they are thinking. You know, let me get feedback and make sure that they think about it in the right way. And, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to hear the feedback in a timely manner, as opposed to saying, you know, hey, let's write the specification, let's code it, and then let's show the build when it may be a little bit too late to get the feedback. So I want to move up the time when we actually share information with people and get the feedback. So if you're a VB, you know, MVP, let's say, for example, right, the new features that we are doing in Orcus, as soon as we think about what they are, you know, even otherwise, you can give us feedback about what features you think we should be doing. But once we think, you know, this is a particular feature that we want to try to get done, we'll write a spec document, specification document, and we'll be sharing it with you.
And I would assume that you have some input on the whole MSDN Feedback Center and how it helped WIDB.
Oh, absolutely. MSDN Feedback
Center. Part of it. Right?
Yeah, MSDN Feedback Center was a great, you know, in my mind, was one of the great things that we did in the product, because it allowed us to have a direct channel of communication between the product team members and the community. So if you have a bug, if you have a suggestion, if you have a feature request, if you have some, you know, problem with a particular design, you can send some feedback to us that directly flows into the VB team in this case, for example, right? The VB team can look at it, can think about it, can, you know, come back and ask you more questions, can interact with you, and then decide how we are going to act on that feedback.
So speaking of feedback, some people that use VB6 wonder what the decision-making process was about going full into .NET versus creating like an enhancement version of VB6, like 6.5
right,
or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What are your thoughts about how how the decisions come down for that?
Right, and I want to start off by saying, you know, that was a very, very tough decision that we made, and there are a lot of times when we think about, like, you know, hey, was it the right decision? Should we have done something different, kind of thing? But if I have to sort of articulate the overriding principle that, you know, was the reason behind why we made the decision for how we operated, it's like, you know, we have a finite amount of resources, no matter, you know, what we are trying to do, okay? I want VB.NET to be a first-class language and first-class citizen of the .NET programming environment, right? As much as any other language. I didn't want VB.NET, or we didn't want VB.NET to lag behind other languages. So we had to make a tough trade-off and say, you know, hey, should we have, you know, some resources working on, like, you know, enhancing VB6 and some resources on VB.NET, which means we are sort of diluting, you know, our focus, our, you know, energy, resources, whatever you want to call it, or should we put all our energy into making sure that VB.NET is absolutely a fantastic language and programming environment for people as we make the transition? Because we did decide that, you know, hey, to enable developers to get all the benefits of modern-day programming environments, we had to move to .NET. And once we made the decision, we want to make sure that we really, really did a great job with VB.NET on the .NET platform.
And then there is a story for interop, like the VB run part of site, and so you don't have to move all at once.
Absolutely. One of the things that we did was like, hey, you as a developer may have a bunch of VB6 code, and rather than asking you to rewrite everything day one, we wanted to say, as you're writing new parts of your application or enhancing some things, you can write it in .NET, while at the same time being able to use an existing VB6 component. And one of the things that we've added support for in Visual Studio 2005 or VB.NET 2005 is to say, you can have reg-free or registration-free, I guess, reg-free comp. You can use an existing VB6 component fairly easily if you're writing new VB.NET code. So we want to make sure that we sort of, let you take your assets and move them forward till, you decide that, it's time for me to redo the application or do other things.
So is it true that the VB6 runtime will be included and supported with Windows Vista?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Windows Vista will have VB6 runtime.
So if someone has a VB6 app, they upgrade to Windows Vista, the runtime's there, it's supported, and they move forward with the life cycle of Windows Vista. So that's
VB6 runtime. As I said, there are a lot of people who still have VB6 applications or code, right?
Right.
Now, more and more VB6 developers are starting to do, VB.NET developers, but they still have a bunch of code. So we will support VB6 with the VB6 runtime in Vista.
So one thing that VB developers care about, that any programming programmer cares about with the language they use, is the job market for that. How is the VS 2005 launch going to be related to awareness of VB itself? Can you talk about that?
I should say one thing, I sort of use this opportunity to talk about this. One of the community members recently blogged, particularly this happened after the MVP summit that we had in Redmond a few weeks ago. The title of the blog, or what this particular portion said in the blog, I thought really captured the feeling that we have about VB.NET and Visual Studio 2005. This person basically said, hey, VB's mojo is back. Mm-hmm. To me, that sort of says that, hey, the excitement that we felt for a couple of years as we went through developing VB, people outside there are beginning to feel it, beginning to see it, beginning to get excited about it. So I do expect the job market, so to speak, for VB developers to only be even more increasing with Visual Studio as more people get excited about using VB.NET. There are three kinds of developers I think about. You may be a developer who's using Visual Studio 2003 today, VB.NET, migrating to Visual Studio 2005. You may be a VB6 developer making the switch to VB.NET in Visual Studio 2005. Or you may be a new, sort of hobbyist kind of person wanting to get into programming. And I think the VB.NET experience is going to be fantastic. So I do expect, more people using this language on the .NET platform.
He could be a Java programmer ready to move to .NET.
Absolutely, yep. I always welcome that, but...
So what has you excited about VB 2005 in the future? And MVP's got to see a lot of stuff. Uh-huh. How was your perception of what their thoughts were leaving and so forth? Just basically VB today and tomorrow. The state of it is, where it is now, and where it's going. What are your thoughts?
If I listen to people at PDC and at the MVP Summit, which are the last two events where I got a chance to interact with developers and the community people, people are very excited about what we are doing in VB.NET in Visual Studio 2005. People have seen this. People have played around with it. People like the fact that edit and continue is back. People like the fact that we have My Classes support to easily access the .NET programming classes. People are excited with a lot of the things that we've done in terms of code snippets and the like to make it easier for people to program in VB.NET. And look, moving forward, the fact that we are thinking about integrating query into the language in VB9 or the next version of VB is absolutely exciting to our VB developers. So overall, I got positive feedback. And to summarize it again, like one MVP said, VB's mojo is back and it is here to stay.
Well, that sounds great. So I'll let you continue working on the final hours of shipping BS 2005, and thanks for your time.